Thank you very much. Appreciate it. A lot of things to cover. We have some things for Independence Day and things that I think we should remember, including our founding documents. We'll go into here in just a second. Let me tell you about Patriot Mobile. You know, if you feel a little powerless, don't feel powerless. We have to build the infrastructure that the left built long ago. And that is, you know, they can boycott when you can, you know, when you can replace it with something. Well, how are you going to boycott these people who are running cell phone companies like, you know, Verizon and AT&T that are giving money to Planned Parenthood? How are you going to boycott that? You need a great service that has the same great service that you have now, the same coverage, and to really get you to switch, you also need a better price. You need to be able to save money, and it needs to be easy. Patriot Mobile has all of that. On top of it, they are not giving money to Planned Parenthood. Their millions of dollars from Verizon and AT&T are going to causes that you are absolutely against. Switch right now to Patriot Mobile. Use the offer code BLAZE and you'll receive, a free month of service, I think, on all new lines. It's patriotmobile.com. Use the promo code BLAZE. Do it now.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
There is a lot to be learned by just reading and understanding the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Gettysburg Address. It all kind of comes together when you read and understand those documents, but so few of us do. I'm going to go over them this day before Independence Day, Independence Eve, if you will. I want you to really hear what brave men did when they sat in a darkened room and scratched on lambskin an idea that had never been fully throated before, never had been said out loud in a serious way that, yes, we're going to do this. It was an idea that changed the world. We'll begin there. In 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So here it is. This is not the time just for cookouts and fireworks and long summer nights. Yes, that is true. But this Independence Day, it's time to remember the incredible sacrifice our forefathers made for this country. I am proud to be an American. I am at times embarrassed to be an American. But that's what it is. America is nothing but a collection of human beings. And we're all supposedly struggling for the same idea, that we want to create a land that is free, where people can pursue their own happiness, and there is liberty, and nobody can take away your life. And we have certain rights that are enshrined. And one of those rights is to have a gun. A lot of people don't like that, but you know what? A lot of people didn't like the idea that the African American could be free. We have a constitutional guaranteed right for that. So not everybody's going to agree and not everybody's going to like, but these are rights that can't be changed. And the United States Concealed Carry Association would like to help you and people like me protect our Second Amendment right. They offer expert training, education, and self-defense legal protection in case you, God forbid, ever have to discharge your firearm. And in honor of 4th, they're giving away $1,776 for guns, ammo, and gear. It's free. It's their 4th of July freedom giveaway. With it, you get two free chances to win that $1,776 just by texting the word BECK to the number 87222. Prize money will get you a Ruger Mini 14, Otis cleaning system, 9-line wood flag design, and ammo. All you need to do is text BECK to the number 87222. But there is a catch. This ends Friday, July 5th. Claim your two free entries right now. Text BECK to the number 87222. That's BECK to the number 87222. We have been done such a great disservice by our educational system because it does not teach the principles of our country. In fact, it maligns them and undermines them every step of the way. It teaches our children, and it taught many of us, things that just are not true, or they admitted. There is the sin of omission. For my whole life, I've wondered, how could Thomas Jefferson, and this is one of the reasons why he's called the American Sphinx, how could Thomas Jefferson write the words that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and then have slaves? Well, part of that is understandable by saying, well, in his day, not everybody was considered equal or even men. And it got worse after Origin of the Species. Origin of the Species, the subtitle is something along the lines, I wish I would have written it down so I had it here. Something along the lines of or Origin of the Species or Survival of the Superior Races. Oh, okay. Thank you. Now science was brought into it. No, these are superior races. The Africans just aren't fully baked, I guess. They haven't evolved. That's why you have the image of the African as a monkey. Because Origin of the Species basically said that. So once you get the science of the modern world and the progressives that know oh so much about the modern world, you start to mix science with the desires of some evil men, and this whole thing is torn apart. But our founders, I should say 10 out of the 13 colonies, 10 out of the 13 colonies, they knew it. They wanted to abolish slavery. Thomas Jefferson knew it. But before they even uttered a word about what they were going to write down on this declaration to send to the king, John Hancock came up and said, you know, the king is going to separate us. He's going to try. He's got power. He has money. He has agents everywhere. He will find the things that we disagree on, and he will separate us. And if we are not locked in arms, if we aren't agreed on every single principle, he will separate us. And he will use those people. He will peel them away one by one. He'll turn us against each other, and then we're done. So before we even begin to write, let us vote. Should everything in this document be unanimous? Everybody said yes. They all knew. We know today, if you're not in lockstep on everything, they're going to peel you apart. But in the first draft, in the usurpation section, where they're talking about the crimes of the king, a section that nobody reads, in the first draft, there was something that Thomas Jefferson himself wrote. And if you look at his draft, even his writing changes. He defines men. Yes, Africans, slaves, are men. I want you to hear the Declaration of Independence. I want you to listen to it, including the usurpations. And I want to add in the one thing that three colonies, North and South Carolina and Georgia, voted no on. But I want you to hear the intent of our founders, including Thomas Jefferson, and the 10 other states that voted yes. You won't have a hard time picking it out. Most of the things are one or two lines that the king has done. This is a full paragraph. Again, that's why at the very beginning of the Declaration of Independence, it says in Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, would dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariable the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object, the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. And to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. This king has refused to assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He's refused for a long time after such disillusions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations thither, and raising the conditions of new appropriation of lands. He's affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He's combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by mock trial from a punishment of any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off all of our trade with parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without consent, for depriving us, in many cases, of the benefit of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for inducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of government. He has plundered our seas, he has ravaged our coasts, he has burnt our towns, and he has destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun, with the circumstances of cruelty unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has incited treasonable insurrections in our fellow subjects, with the allurements of forfeiture and confiscation of our property. He has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere, or to incur miserable death in their transportation thither. This warfare, the opprobrium of infidel powers, is the warfare of a Christian king of Great Britain, determined to keep an open market where men should be bought and sold. He has prostituted his negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or restrain this commerce. And that this assemblage of horrors might want no fact of distinguished dye, he is now exciting those very people to rise in arms among us and to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them by murdering the people upon whom he has also obtruded them, thus paying off former crimes committed against the liberties of one people with crimes in which he urges them to commit against the lives of another. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in most humble terms, and our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a man to be free. Future ages will scarcely believe the hardiness of one man. We have not been wanting in our attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of the attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We've appealed to their native justice and magnanimity. We have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which they would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. But they too have been deaf to the voice of justice. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the recessitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies and of right ought to be free and independent states, and that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that is free in independent states. They have the full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish Congress, and do all other acts and things which independent states may right to do. And for support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That was the beginning. More in a minute. Let me tell you about LifeLock, our sponsor. One of the biggest sites on the internet for e-invitations has now officially admitted to a security breach. Hackers have put up for sale 10 million user records from the site. Names, usernames, email addresses, passwords, dates of birth, phone numbers, mailing address, everything. Everything. If you've used something for an e-invite before February of this year, your name and all of your information may be out on the dark web. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds, and you can miss identity threats. If you're only monitoring your credit, that's not enough. That's why LifeLock is here. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, on sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. And if there's a problem, they have somebody right here in the U.S. to work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can uncover the threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and get an extra 10% off your first year by using promo code BECK. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to lifelock.com and use the promo code BECK. Get an extra 10% off now. 10 seconds, station ID. So when they wrote that document, it said several things. It is our mission statement. It's not how to run the government. It's what we want in a government. It's what we want to be as people. It is an aspirational statement that the world had never heard before. And I want to try to break it down in the next segment a little bit, and then show you where our founders failed and what had to be done, and the promise for a rebirth of this nation in just a few minutes. Stand by. By the way, all of this will be on YouTube, and if you're a member of the Blaze, you can share it with your family as well this weekend.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Patriot Mobile is here because we know that, Google and YouTube are not just silencing conservatives online. They're also manipulating their algorithms to interfere with the 2020 election. Now, many of the proceeds from your bill that you pay every time, if you have Verizon or AT&T, they take the proceeds from your mobile phone bill and they fund progressive candidates and causes. This includes promoting illegal immigration, abortion, and gun control. Stop giving your money to Verizon and AT&T. Start giving your money to Patriot Mobile. They're going to give you the same exact coverage. It's great coverage. It's on the same cell towers. So everybody's using the same cell towers. So they're on the same cell towers. But here's the difference. You are not giving your money to a group of people who are giving that money to La Raza and Planned Parenthood. You're getting the same great service, a lower price. You'll get a free month of service if you use the promo code BECK at PatriotMobile.com. Do it now. Make the switch. PatriotMobile.com, promo code BECK.
If you're in Texas, it's a great way to celebrate freedom. The Mercury One Museum goes on till July 7th. Get your tickets at MercuryOne.org.
According to the FBI, the average loss in burglary is about $2,000 or just above. Now, that can be hard to recover from. Even so, only 1 in 5 have home security. And I think it's mainly because the security companies make it so hard to get security. But SimpliSafe is different. Their system protects every door, every window, every room with 24/7 professional monitoring. With SimpliSafe, there's no contract, no hidden fees, no fine print. It's designed to blend right into your home without wires, without drilling. It's easy
easy to order. It's easy to set up. You can usually do it in under an hour. And the system has won tons of awards, from CNET to the New York Times Wirecutter. Around-the-clock monitoring, $15 a month without a contract. If you go to simplysafe.com/Glenn, you're going to get a free HD security camera when you order. That's a $100 value. So get your free HD security camera now by going to simplysafe.com/Glenn. Order today, simplysafe.com/Glenn. simplysafe.com/Glenn.
Independence Eve, and we thought we would talk a little bit about a couple of our documents that I think are so important. One that shows our mission statement. The Constitution of the United States, if you take away its mission statement, can really put together any government. We could amend the Constitution and abolish all rights in the Constitution and do it constitutionally. But once you connect the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution, well, then things change. That's why the Declaration of Independence is so very important, because this was the time that we said, this is who we are, and this is what we want to create. And the first, or actually it's the third paragraph of the Declaration, it says everything you need to know. Our mission statement, the things that we hold to be self-evident, are that all men are created equal and that they're endowed by their creator. So here are two things that were unheard of at the time, that all men are created equal. What? And we're not just talking about black and white. We're talking about lords and ladies and dukes and duchesses and kings. Wait a minute. Are you telling me the guy who runs the apple farm and the cart that is outside of my walls, he's equal to me? That's hogwash. This was an unheard of idea, that all men are created equal and that they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, meaning there is a God. And you know what? God isn't just picking the king. In fact, he's not picking the king, because all men have the same rights. Wait a minute. I'm the king. I've been chosen by God. No, not really. You're just saying that. But we're all chosen by God. We are all absolutely equal. And sorry, you're no different than us. And by the way, those rights that God gives you, that you say are inalienable, you can't take that right away from me. No, God gives that to everybody, and they're all inalienable. And among these, meaning there's a lot more, but let me just give you three of them: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, here's another big change. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Now, wait a minute. No. The government is set up at the king's request to protect the king and his ideas and what he wants to do. Wait a minute. You're saying that because of these rights that you say you have, that's why this government exists? That's nonsense. No, but we're going to go one further. Not only is that the reason why we have a government at all, but that government derives its just powers, not its unjust powers, just powers, from the consent of the governed. And that when any form of government becomes destructive to those ends, meaning protecting those rights, well, then it's the right of the people to alter or abolish it. What? You can't just take a government and just flush it down the toilet. Yes, we can. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is, notice, the right, capitalized, of the people to alter or abolish it, comma, and to institute a new government. So when you say, I just want to burn this whole place down, you're violating our mission statement. You're violating the principles. You have to institute a new government and lay its foundations on such principles and organizing its power in such as form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safetiness and happiness. We know we have a pursuit of happiness. We know we have certain rights. So we, if we are going to abolish a government ever, we have to organize the principles of a new government that's going to protect those things. Then it says, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. We have to have good reasons. And we know that it is in human nature that most people are just going to suffer. Most people are just going to take it. Hey, you didn't get your fries. You want to go back and complain? No, let's just go. But that's a transient cause. You wouldn't want to break up a country because you didn't get your fries. Because most people, until it's intolerable, until you go, I didn't get my fries, I didn't get my shake, I didn't get a Coke, I didn't get napkins, I didn't get a burger, I got nothing, I got an empty bag. That's when people will usually act. Everybody will usually go together and say, okay, this is ridiculous. Probably the first time, but definitely the second, third, and fourth, everyone will say something. That's the long train of abuses and usurpations. Then it is the people's right, and it is their duty to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Now, nobody had ever said this before. Nobody had ever. It had been uttered certain things. Some of these lines had been said from the pulpits in churches for 50 to 100 years. So people recognized some of this language. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator, life, liberty, and happiness. They recognized a lot of this because they had been hearing it. This was a soup that started with the pilgrims. So this was the common language. Now it's a little like Shakespeare. You have to listen for the intonation to be able to really understand it. But we made a mistake. And I don't think we made a mistake with the Declaration of Independence. We made a mistake at the time of the Constitution because the founders relied on divine providence. They knew we could not beat England without God. And he knew that most of our founders wanted to end slavery. But when we came to the Constitution, we didn't. We ended the slave trade, but not slaves. Now, we were the first nation to end slavery. But technically, we were the third to end slaves and free slaves. And we had to do it in a war. And at first, while Abraham Lincoln was against slavery, and Abraham Lincoln was clear on that in his own writings in the 1850s, that's not why he brought the Union to bear on the South. He was trying to save the Union. He said, you don't have a right to break away on these things. Transient causes. And you have a wrong cause because the world is going in the other direction. You're breaking away because you want slaves. No, I'm sorry. It's time to abolish slavery. And that's why the Republican platform in 1860 was about that, ending slavery. So he was intent on ending slavery. But then the South walked away and said, we're not part of you anymore. And Abraham Lincoln, a man of constant sorrows, a man alone, really, truly alone, fought his way through trying to save the Union, preserve the Union. But that wasn't a great enough cause, and I don't think that was the cause that God wanted. And we lost almost every single battle as the North. Up until the Gettysburg Address, we lost almost everything. And then Lincoln paused and he got down on his knees and he said, what do you want? And it was clear he had to free the slaves, that's what that war was about. And so he went and declared that. But first, he said, we need a day of prayer, fasting, and humiliation. We must ask God to forgive our sins. After that proclamation, the North won almost every single battle, I think except one or two. But while he was standing there, There was a speaker before him, and he gave a long, popular speech. Everybody was talking about that speech. And then Abraham Lincoln stood up just to give a few appropriate words. It took him less than 2.5 minutes. Everybody thought that it was good. The newspaper man from New York asked the president, can I get a copy of that speech? He said, sure, gave him the original copy. He used that to lay some of the typeset for the newspaper coverage and then threw that copy away. Lincoln himself said, nobody's going to long remember what we said here. But we have. And I think it is appropriate this Independence Day to remember it. And to rededicate ourselves, because this is the challenge still that we have not fully completed. The promise of unity, and the promise again that reflects back to 67 years ago, and meaning back in 1776, they had this idea. Now it is 63 years ago. And his address still rings true. Four score and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation, so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should do this, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, they have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here. But it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated. To be dedicated here to the unfinished work which those who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us here to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Happy 4th of July. Simply Safe, if you've been thinking about your home security, there is no better time to get it than right now. You've heard me talk about Simply Safe home security before. Incredible protection, intuitive, thoughtful design, fair and reasonable prices. And right now, in honor of the 4th of July, Simply Safe has put together a great offer for you. Simply Safe has assembled a great home security sensor. It is a system. It has all the entry sensors, the motion sensors, the glass break, security camera, everything that you need to stop criminals from touching anything inside of your home. And as a special bonus, you'll get 15% off this package, plus a free HD camera. Complete protection for your home. So you can rest assured that your rights will not be violated by somebody coming into your house. Wirecutters call it the best home security. CNET, Editor's Choice, PC Magazine, Magazine's Editor's Choice. It's an incredible system, and you own it. No binding contracts, and monitoring is still $15. So go to simplysafebeck.com right now. You get 15% off your system, plus a free HD security camera. That's a great deal for Independence Weekend. It's a $100 value, plus simplysafebeck.com for 15% off your order. simplysafebeck.com. Go there now. I'm going to draw another name out of Abe Lincoln's hat. Not really his hat, just in case anybody really thinks. This is Keith Willis. Bought some tickets yesterday, and he can upgrade all of those tickets to a tour with anybody he chooses. When is it? When is Keith coming in, and where is he from? From Tyler, Texas, and he's coming in on the 4th. So if he wants to join my tour, how many people are coming with him? 7. It's going to be a big tour. It's going to be a really great day tomorrow. I'm going to be here for the Mercury Museum the whole day, and I would love to see you and your family. The Gettysburg Address, which we just went over, and also the first draft of the Declaration of Independence, an 1826 engraving of that first draft by Thomas Jefferson, is here. The Gettysburg Address. As well as the 13th Amendment and the Emancipation Proclamation signed by Lincoln are also here. This is a great day tomorrow to rededicate yourself to these principles, and we'll show you how you can do it. This is very different than anything else that we have done. The people who have already come through this last weekend are scoring it off the charts, because we want to know what we can do better or worse. And everybody says the same thing. They go through a full range of emotions, but they leave here with great hope. And that is what you should. When you look at the scars of our nation and then you look at the promise of our nation, you should leave with great hope. Join us. You can get your tickets now at mercuryone.org. That's mercuryone.org. It runs here in Dallas, Texas until July 7th. I will be here tomorrow all day. David Barton, Stu will be here Friday and over the weekend. Make sure you join us. mercuryone.org.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
We're so glad that you've joined us. Let me tell you about our sponsor. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. 1,000 active agents strong right now. 5,000 are still on a waiting list to join. And we want to vet every single one, because the name of the organization is Real Estate Agents I Trust. So you have to jump through some hoops. You can't just be call us up. Hey, I want to join your network. Nope. We have to find out who you are. We have to know what you believe. We prefer that you're a fan of the show, that way your sensibilities are, because there's nothing worse than getting into a car and having some liberal take you around for all day and you're just like dying inside. You want to be able to actually talk to the real estate agent and trust them. They have to know the area. They have to be one of the best real estate agents, if not the best real estate agent in your area due to sales. That's how we find these people. This is my company. I'm not doing a commercial. This is my company, and they're real estate agents that I trust. So you can say that in the end when you tell your friend to try it. You want your home sold, or you want to buy the right home? Do it the right way. Do it fast and effectively. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Abby Johnson is one of my favorite people because she is so brave, so very brave. And she started, and then there were none, this organization. She was working for Planned Parenthood. She was actually the employee of the year when she quit and realized, oh my gosh, look at what I've been a part of. And she has dedicated her life now to try to get people to not have abortions, but also to try to get the people out of those abortion clinics that were nurses just like she was. We talked to her about something else she's doing that involves the border in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, since Al Gore invented the internet, cybersecurity has been a constant battle between criminals and consumers. And unfortunately, cyber criminals seem to be, well, I would say one step ahead, but probably more like 100 steps ahead. They are not deterred, because they are working fast and furious to get in and get your information. And who's working on your side? Well, there is a way to avoid a lot of this, and that's with a Norton Secure VPN. This is a VPN is something that you log on to, and it's a virtual private network. So you're not on your home network. They can't follow you and track you, and it's all encrypted. It's bank level encryption. So Facebook, Google, bad guys, they're not able to find you, track you, or anything else. It's Norton.com/VPN. It costs about $3, $3.33 a month if you sign up for the year. That's a really low price for having encrypted information that nobody can track, nobody can follow. It's Norton, Norton.com/VPN. Protect your privacy. Protect your life and information. It's Norton.com/VPN. Do it now. Abby Johnson is with us. She is the CEO and founder of And Then There Were None. She's also the author of the book Unplanned, which was just a hit movie in America. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure it's... Is it going to be on... Let me ask Abby. Are they going to put it on Amazon and Netflix?
Yes. It will be out. Yeah, it'll be out. I'm not sure which platforms they'll hold it yet, but it'll be streaming and out on DVD August 13th.
That's great. Abby, how have you been? I know this year has been really stressful with the movie and everything else. First, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I had a baby a month ago.
Oh, congratulations. So, boy or girl or Buick? Because we all know that it's not life in there always.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A little boy named Fulton, and he's just precious. He was our eighth baby, so... You know, life is busy around here. It's great.
I'm sorry. I think the phone cut out. You said it was your eighth baby.
Well, you know, we're just trying to repopulate.
Yeah. That's a lot of children. But I have to tell you, I was a guy in my 20s that I didn't want any children. Now I have 4 and I wish I had 10. There is nothing better. I mean, you'll lose all of your hair and your eyebrows and everything, but there's nothing better.
And money.
Yeah. I know. Okay. So Abby, I want to talk to you about something that I think is controversial that I don't think should be. And I commend you for doing this. You started Bottles to the Border. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so I had been wanting to send items down to the border. It's not easy to do something like that. You think it would be, but the detention centers won't take items. And so trying to find places that will take items where people can access them, who really need them, can be a little difficult. And so I called a friend of mine, Destiny De La Rosa, and, you know, we just started talking about it. And we said, you know, we really need a combined effort from the pro-life movement, you know, who can do this, who can gather supplies. And I said, I'm gonna put out a registry. So we contacted 4 different centers that are working with immigrants. And so these would be places where the immigrants would go after they've left the detention centers. And they go there with nothing. I mean, they don't even have shoelaces. Shoelaces are taken in the detention center. Kids don't have toys. I mean, there's just nothing. And so a lot of moms, you know, who need baby supplies, who need nursing items, just, I mean, basic things that we take for granted, they don't have. And so we thought, you know, this really isn't a political issue. This is sort of just a human rights issue. We need to get down there and figure out how to help people. And so we started talking to different pro-life groups, and surprisingly, we weren't surprised that they wanted to get involved. We were surprised that they were actually willing to put their name on it, because mm-hmm. like you said, this becomes controversial when it's just about helping people.
When I did this, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, went down to the border under Obama, and I was telling people then, because the border guards were telling me, these people who are being demonized, these border guards were saying, please, you've got to get people to wake up, and what's happening, they're putting children in cages and breaking up the families. I called every single reporter that I knew that was on the left and said, don't use my name if you don't want to, nothing, just please check this out. Here are names that you can call in the border guard that need this exposed. Nobody was interested on the left, and unfortunately on the right for a while, until people started getting a handle on it. People thought I was saying that we have to, you know, welcome these people across the border. No. I just want to take care of people. When you were hungry, I fed you. When you were in prison, I visited you. When you didn't have clothes, I clothed you. That's what we're supposed to do. And then let the machinery of the government take care of sending these people back.
Exactly. And, you know, we hear all the time pro-lifers saying, we don't want government interference. We need the churches to step up. Okay, well, let's step up, right? Like, let's be the church. Let's help these people who are in these desperate situations. I don't care why they're here. I'm not really interested in that. I just want to help them while they are here right now, while they are in need. And we talked to some of these respite centers. They are receiving 500 to 800 people a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a number that most, I mean, can you imagine, like, 500 to 800 people? You're having to clothe them, take care of them, house them, help get them medical care. So it's really easy for conservatives to say, you know, well, we are taking care of them. It's such an overwhelming number that a lot of people are falling through the cracks. And so
A lot of towns are falling through the cracks. A lot of churches are collapsing because they cannot do it. It is the church's responsibility. When I say church, I don't mean with a capital C. I mean small c, us, all of us. It is our gospel requirement to clothe the needy, to feed the hungry. And they are here, and we are letting our capital C churches collapse all along the border, and our towns getting ready to collapse because there's no money to do it.
Right. So we gathered all this stuff. So we did an Amazon registry. We had a drop point for we do registries a lot for single moms, moms that choose life, who are in desperate need of resources. So we're sort of like a well-oiled machine for large baby registries.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was that times 100. So we had a drop point. One of our staff members, Brendan, there were none. Everything was being shipped to her. Everything was organized. We had a team of people go to her house, get everything organized. And then we got the coolest offer. So a man that goes to her church, that he owns an 18-wheeler trucking company. Mm-hmm. And he said, I will donate a truck, the time, and a driver if you can fill it up and get supplies down to the border. So we have an 18-wheeler that we are filling up with supplies and taking down there to the border. And the most needed items are I mean, just basic things, diapers and protein boosting milk for kids, formula, shoelaces. Every single person that comes, 5 to 800 pairs of shoelaces are needed per day because they're taken in
per
detainment.
Day.
They need, the kids come in, oh, they told us 5 to 800 people come in per day. About half of those are children. I mean, come on, people, wake up. These are kids. It doesn't matter why their parents are here. It doesn't matter their immigration status. These are children.
And some of these children have been kidnapped and taken and are destined for really horrible things. We have to care for them.
Yes. And so we're just really excited. So we're taking an 18-wheeler down to the border. We have four different centers that we're working with. Two of them can take supplies. Two of them cannot because they just don't have the facilities. So we have raised almost $40,000 to divide between these centers to help them take in the immigrants that are coming. And it's just been really beautiful to see the pro-life movement come together and to work on this cause together and to show people that it's not just about abortion. I mean, this is about human rights, period.
So,
whether it's the child in the womb, whether it's the immigrant at the border, we have to care about both equally.
So tell me, and this is so good because I'm tired of people saying, oh, well, if Christians really believed in pro-life, what about all the babies that are born that are unwanted? Well, here, right here, right here. We'll help, and we'll do it. Where can you give?
Yeah, so the best thing to do is I'm going to be making a fresh post today on my Facebook page. If you type in Abby Johnson, it's the first one that'll pop up. I'm also going to be making a fresh Twitter post today and a post on Instagram, Abby Johnson on both of those. And people can go, they can donate monetary gift if they would like to do that.
Do you have or something I can just put my credit card in and give?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Super easy. And then we also have the Amazon registry back open. Now that we have the 18-wheeler, we've added additional supplies because we want to fill that sucker up.
I mean, so how do we do that on Amazon?
You have an 18-wheeler donated to go down with supplies. So we want to fill it up and take it down there.
Hopefully we'll have more than need for more 18-wheelers. How do I get to the Amazon page?
Yeah, so I'll have all of that on my Facebook page. I'll have a link to the Amazon registry. I'll have a link to how people can make donations. All very easy.
Okay.
And I'll make a fresh post today so that everybody can see it. I'll make it this morning.
Okay, please do. You can follow her at Twitter at Abby Johnson. You can also find her Facebook page, Abby Johnson, and her website is abbyjohnson.org, Bottles to the Border. I think this is courageous and really great, Abby. And let me know how we can help because I would like to also be of assistance to you. I think what
you're... Thank you. And we're going to be actually there on the 13th, on July 13th.
Okay.
Is the day that we're traveling down. So if people are interested in helping us unload, I mean, unloading this truck is going to be a feat, getting everything into these centers, getting it organized for them.
Okay, so let's talk Monday, maybe after the holiday, and we'll see if we can get some people to help you.
Yeah, so if you're interested in helping us, if you're going to be down in McAllen, and help us, you know, want to help us unload, they can email me at my website, abbyjohnson.org.
Thank you very much, Abby. I appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you.
I'm going to give via card, or if you wanted to give with cash, I can take care of it for you.
I don't recommend that you give it to Stu. Mm-hmm.
Just send it.
He's not a trustworthy individual.
Attention, Stu.
Yeah. July 4th, having a big sale at Blinds.com. Things are heating up at Blinds.com because things are heating up in my house. It's hot. It's really hot. I walked out, what was it, yesterday afternoon? I thought I was going to die. What was the temperature here yesterday? 1,000?
Oh, I loved it. Oh, I walk out of this place where it's 14 degrees in the studio every day.
Damn right.
And then you have to sit outside in the car, because I don't even turn the air conditioning on. I sit out in the car with just the heat that's been like radiating through there for hours and hours and hours.
It's not that cold.
And after about
Letterman
2 hours,
keeps it
I
cold.
Thaw.
Carson
that
used to
is keep
not
it true. We yes. had Nick DiPaolo in here the other day, by the way, who's been on every late night show. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, it's cold in here. And I said, that's what we've been saying, but Glenn always says, well, that's how Letterman does it. That's how Letterman...
Well, no, like, that's not how... That's how I've done it my whole life. Yes. But stop complaining. Right. Every TV show is
and
this
he
cold.
Said he's been on all of these shows.
Nah, he's a liar.
And this is colder than all of them. And then he said, don't tell Glenn because I want to come back.
Well, you just
but,
told me,
but
so he's not
him.
Coming back. Bring your bring your parka. Anyway, July 4th, everything's getting hot, and things are heating up at Blinds.com. 50% off everything right now. 50%. Blinds.com is America's number one online choice for affordable, quality, custom window coverings. And their award-winning design consultants are with you every step of the way. You get free shipping, 100% satisfaction. At Blinds.com. Go there right now. You'll save 50% on everything. Plus, you'll save an extra $20 off this July 4th with the promo code Beck. Save up to 50% off everything. Plus, save an extra $20 off with the promo code Beck. That's Blinds.com. Promo code Beck.
What do you think about 10 seconds for station ID?
I'm thinking about it.
All right.
Nah, I don't want to do that.
No,
you
don't
want to do that.
Yeah, it took you about 10 seconds to figure it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Andy No, Dr. No is on with us today.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty interesting. Yeah. I mean, he wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal talking about this incident. I would like to see what his belief is on, you know, how the media has reacted to this, because journalists have not been on his side.
No, journalists are saying he's not a journalist.
Yeah. And by the way, when does that matter?
He's a gay man and a gay journalist. Quote Phil Hendry.
Let's just say he was not a journalist. Let's just say he was a really annoying door-to-door salesman. Okay? A guy who came in and he tried to sell you vacuum cleaners.
I don't want them.
And you don't want those vacuum cleaners.
I'm pissed at those vacuum cleaner people.
Does this annoying door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesman deserve to get hit in the head and pummeled to a brain bleed?
Will he leave if I ask him to leave?
Yeah, what does he... Like, him being a journalist should perhaps heighten the sensitivity of other journalists, because you have to go into dangerous areas. You are constantly in the situation where... You want to make sure that observing a crowd does not make you a part of the story. It doesn't make you a target of a crowd, right? You want that to be... You can understand that being a focus of a journalist. However, anybody in this situation, whether they're just walking down the street, whether they're just passing by, whether they're even being critical, whether they're saying things, which he was not, whether they're saying things that disagree with the statements and the concepts of the march, whatever it is, you should not be beaten in the head to the point where you're going to a brain bleed. Even having a meaningless vegan shake without concrete thrown at you.
Can you imagine if we would have done that? Because Al Sharpton walked through the crowd for Restoring Honor. Remember that?
Yeah.
He took his people and he marched a crowd through our crowd. And nobody did anything except, God bless you, love you.
Yeah, okay. That was so awesome.
And they were picking a fight and they wanted it. We didn't do anything. Can you imagine if somebody would have thrown a milkshake without concrete at Al Sharpton? Can you imagine?
I mean, this is, you know, it's almost too easy here. But, like, you could say, imagine if a son of a Vietnamese immigrant who happens to be gay was beaten up at a Trump rally, right, and had a brain bleed. What a big story that would be. But you don't even need to go there. We know what a big story it was when a kid... At 16 years old, stood in front of a Native American with a red hat on. And it was a 2-week story. This guy was beaten within an inch of his life. He went to the hospital. He brain bleed. And that is like, oh, well, he's not even a journalist. What does that have to do with anything? Who cares?
Well,
he's
journalists
a human
are
being.
Protective. Journalists believe that they are above everybody else. So there's a different rule for journalists.
But if anything,
and not all journalists are created equal.
But who cares? He's a freaking person. Anybody who gets beaten to the within an inch
people,
of their lives.
People, they need the press to tell them what's right and wrong.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
He's coming up in about a half an hour. If you're in constant pain, you're not alone. You know, during the 1700s, 50% of the people were in pain. Now, can you imagine that? Can you even imagine? We were talking about Gettysburg earlier. Can you imagine being in the Gettysburg War where the doctor was coming and he was like, I got a saw, I got to take your leg off. You'd be like, no!
Yeah, not to mention the life expectancy was like 35. Yeah. And half the population was in pain.
Because you wanted to kill yourself. Yeah. You wanted, I'm going to go to war, honey. I'm probably not coming back. I've had this toothache since I was 12 years old. I can't take it anymore. I hope one of the other soldiers or even one of my own soldiers will shoot me in the back at some point. Just saying. Pain is something that we don't have to deal with, and it's really hard. You can take narcotics, but then you're hooked on narcotics and it's blurry all day. Try Relief Factor. Try it for 3 weeks. Try it breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You take one packet for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. In 3 weeks, if you don't see a reduction in pain, stop taking it. But 70% of the people do. I do. It works for me. It may work for you. Relief Factor at relieffactor.com. 800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. There you can subscribe and get all the programming from Blaze TV. Use the promo code Glenn and save $10. That's the end of it. That's the whole... It's the whole thing. You stand there and you watch people walk down a street. That's a parade.
So I live just outside of Preston, Idaho. Preston is this town of, I think, about 1,000 people, I think. Mm-hmm. The town I live in is about 500 people. And so if you get everybody together, you've got 1,500 people at a parade. And so they have this parade down the streets of Preston, and I'm so bummed that I missed it. I think it's coming up, and I'm not going to be able to go this year, but they have this great festival. Now, I don't know if they organize it in such a way to where, like, this is your year to march or what, but half of the people are watching it, and the other half are in it. And because they didn't, you know, because they parked everything on one side, they go up one street and then they come back the other street, and it's fantastic. So you can see both sides of the parade. You can see the people waving you on the left, and then when it comes back you can see them on the right.
Do they walk across like the in-between area so they can see both times?
No, because they go in like they come back and go back. They make a circle.
Okay. This is, and then no, they do you're it making the, a good argument.
And then
here
they
make
and then they do it again the next day, and everybody goes and it's fun.
I mean, there's a fun, like, we do, you know, some of these parades with my kids. My kids are 6 and 7, and they like it, and it's I like doing it with them. However, what a parade is essentially that thing that cars drive on. Instead, people are walking on it. That's
you
what
are
it is.
So bad. It's you know just, the best. Have you ever been to a great 4th of July parade?
I would say there's no such thing as a great 4th of July parade.
Yes, there is. In Provo, Utah, the best 4th of July. I think it's the longest, not the longest running or anything like that. It may be the longest running. Because it'd have to be back east. But I think it's the longest 4th of July parade in the country.
Like length.
Mm. It's like the Macy's Day Parade. And they do it right. It is. I mean, you're transported into like this all Americana kind of space where you're like, everyone here really I'm embarrassed because I don't even know if I love the country this much. It's that kind of deal. It is the best.
I mean, you like the celebration of the country. I just think it's one of those things where the tradition might outpace the actual enjoyment of the event.
Okay, so I agree with you when it comes to like 4th of July ceremonies and the fireworks. We used to go to the fireworks every year. It was a big deal.
I remember this. This was your life. I mean,
Oh, 4th of July. We would
go to
a
search out
one.
For the biggest one.
Oh, yeah. We did that. And my older kids remember that. My younger kids don't, because basically Rafe hated fireworks. He freaked out.
Oh, really?
Oh, from 1 to 5, we couldn't get him near a firecracker because it would go off and he would be like, oh, it's too loud. I'm afraid. Oh. And, you know, so every year we would go to one of these things for like 4 or 5 years. We would go to these and I would have to go before the fireworks started and go inside someplace where he couldn't hear them. And I'm like, Rafe, one of these days, you're going to like this and you're going to want to go, and I'm not taking you. So it just became just a hassle, and we haven't picked it back up again, and I hate it. And next year, I am committing that we're going to do it. And in fact, if I have to start my own parade, I'm going to start a parade. I might even do it. I think we should do some sort of a contest. And I know we did this before, where we'll come and we'll do, and I want to do the fireworks and everything.
You mean like we'll go to a specific town, like maybe?
Yeah, and we'll and it'll be a town that, you know, wants to start a tradition of a parade or something like that, and we'll do the fireworks. I mean, I've done 2 fireworks shows before, and they're pretty good.
Yeah, this is your game. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, that's my game.
I think that could be really fun. I mean, we could make the parade not suck. You know, maybe that's one of the goals of the event.
Well, we'll probably not have you in it.
Yeah,
that would be a big, 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 big help. I think it would be great fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it is, because we did something like this many years ago.
Let's do this.
And it was like a...
Say yes.
I'm into it. I think this would be fun.
You're in?
I'm in.
You're in?
You just have to make it good. That's my only requirement.
I know, but remember the float that we made years ago in Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the John Kerry wafflehead float? That was fantastic.
Oh, that was fantastic.
And we didn't do it. The audience did it.
That's true. They made it.
I mean, the audience, I bet you the audience would come up with some really cool, fun floats.
And I don't necessarily want to draw attention to this. I don't know what the statute of limitations is exactly. But I believe after the election, John Kerry did kind of blame us for his loss.
You're welcome, America.
So
you're welcome.
I don't.
If that's what caused him to lose, a giant John Kerry face that was like 12 feet tall, well, made entirely out of waffle, saying, remember, vote for me on Wednesday. If that's what lost the election, he deserved to lose.
Well, first of all, he definitely deserved to lose.
Yes.
There's no question about
yes.
that. But he did actually afterwards come out and say, and they're like, well, there was people in Ohio saying that Republicans had to vote on Tuesday and Democrats voted on Wednesday. And remember, that was the close state and they tried to say the election was stolen. There may have been a wafflehead float saying things similar to that in the streets. And I gotta say, like, if you fall for that, shouldn't you have to just abandon your right to vote? Like, aren't you too dumb to vote if you fall for that? If you hear a giant on a truck, a giant head that looks like a waffle and is saying in the John Kerry voice, Democrats vote on Wednesday, and you're like, gosh, I can't wait to get there on Wednesday. Do you deserve your vote?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. No.
So you're welcome, yeah. America. Uh-huh. If that's true, you're welcome.
But I like this. It's doing like a festival like that where everyone kind of comes together and people who actually like America join together and don't sit there and complain about it the entire time. That would be amazing. You know, like we can maybe not focus on how we're making people drink out of toilets. You know, we can go down the other road, the other parts of our history. You know, the parts where, I don't know, we ripped billions of people out of poverty. Maybe focus on that instead of the toilet water.
Yeah.
Is that
could be good.
Is that an option?
That could be good.
I think that could be fun.
Yeah. All right. Are you in?
I'm in. I think that'd be really cool.
Now, you know, without saying what I'm also planning next summer.
I...
Turn your mic off for a second.
Okay.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So you know that.
Yeah. The thing that you just said on television and people could easily read your lips. Yes.
Whoops. Okay. So, well, you didn't remind me of that. I'm used to doing radio. So anyway, should we combine the two?
Probably. Yes. I mean, because you don't want to have, without giving anything away, like you can't have,
couldn't do too big
how many
events.
Major events can you have in a summer? I mean, people don't like you that much. I mean, people who now, work here don't like you that much. So let alone the people.
But what if I promise I won't be there?
Okay, now you're. Right. I'm warming to the idea. I'm warming to this idea.
All right.
So, like, you appear in Idaho, and the event is somewhere on the other side of the country.
Yes. Yes.
That's part of it.
Yes.
And you will not Skype in or anything? You promise not to FaceTime?
Well, my family will probably be there at the event, so they would. I would FaceTime so I could watch the event, but they'll keep me on mute.
And we'll have to negotiate that one.
Okay, all right, okay, okay. All right.
Yeah, no, that would be really cool. I mean, I will say we've had how many big gatherings of this audience over the years, and every time we've done it, like,
it's scary as hell.
No, well, it's scary as hell because we always think no one's going to show up.
Yeah,
but think about, like, for example, what we saw in Portland this week, where people are just getting attacked. How often has this happened? Every time this like sort of hard left decides to get together, people wind up getting hit in the head with things.
But I love
bleeding.
That with ours, because ours never
happens that way.
It never happens that way, and they try to antagonize us, and we're just like, hey, everybody sing Amazing Grace, and they're like, oh, I hate these people, and they walk away.
Yeah. It's really funny to watch.
It's really fun to watch when you said, and I learned this. I wish I knew the name of this lady. When I was in Alaska, and I was walking down the street, and this lady was so pissed at me. And I just, she was yelling at me, all kinds of stuff. And she came right up to me, had her finger right in my chest. And I just said, I love you. It was one of those days where I was very, very Gandhi Christ-like. I was feeling it. You know what I mean? The next day, I could have just bitten her head off. I don't know. But that day, I was feeling very Christ-like.
And you just said it. You just blurted out, I love you. Aren't you supposed to wait until
the third
date for that?
She said something, and she was waiting for me to say something. And I said, I love you. And then she just blew up again. And then she waited for me to respond. And I said, I love you. And she blew up even more. Mm-hmm. And I said, I love you. And she went, ugh! And she turned around and walked away.
So you basically like harnessed love for political purposes. That you're,
oh my
you were
gosh,
Marianne
it's
Williamson
a miracle.
That,
what I've just done is a course in miracles right there.
I think you'd have almost like a Me Too issue if you did that today. If someone walks up to you and yells at you and you say, I love you,
But it works every time. Yeah. It works every time. Hey, listen, come tomorrow. We're doing our museum, 12 score and 3 years ago. The Unfinished Promise of Unity. You'll see the original draft of the Declaration of Independence that includes abolishing slavery. It's an amazing document. The Gettysburg Address, the 13th Amendment, the Emancipation Proclamation, all of these things under one roof. People go through all kinds of emotions because you start in a slave ship. But you end in light. And as we are interviewing people on exit questionnaires this last weekend on how we can make it better, everybody is saying the same thing. The emotions are all of them. You will go through all of the emotions, but you will leave really, really hopeful. You can get your tickets now at mercuryone.org. I'm here all day, 4th of July. I'd love to meet your family. I'd love to have you here. Join one of my tours. You can find out all about them at mercuryone.org. So, you know, all of the proceeds go to free current slaves in the Middle East through the Nazarene Fund and also OUR. It's 12 score and 3 years ago. The Unfinished Promise of Unity. Get your tickets now at mercuryone.org. Simply Safe is our sponsor. Now, Simply Safe for 4th of July has really put a great offer together for you for independence. Independence only happens when somebody is watching your stuff. You can't fully be independent if you're worried about what's happening at my house. Is my family safe? So they've put together an incredible protection package with intuitive, thoughtful designs at fair and reasonable prices. The system they put together for 4th of July here is a system that has the entry sensors, the motion glass break sensors, a security camera, everything you need to keep criminals from touching your home, the things that you hold precious. As a special bonus, you'll get 15% off of this package, plus you'll get a free HD camera. Complete protection for your home. It's simplysafebeck.com. Go there now, save 15% right now, and get a free HD security camera at simplysafebeck.com. Now is the time. simplysafebeck.com. Hello and welcome to the program. Oh, we're so glad that you're here today. Thank you so much. Andy Ngo is coming up in just a second. He's the editor of Quillette. If you've never read Quillette, you should. Quillette.com. It's a
hardcore right-wing publication.
No, not so much.
That's how it's described every time now, which I...
It's not.
No, it's like, intellectual dark web, probably in that general vicinity.
It's a classical liberal kind of website. So you're going to get people that disagree with you on abortion and everything else reading it, but they believe
about
freedom.
And that's probably the thing that unites it, that whole movement, really, more than anything else.
What a surprise. That's what used to unite the United States of America. Hmm. We could all come together and be different, and yet all come together on the principles of freedom.
That sounds scary. What if we instead silence people that we don't like? That sounds better.
That's a butter.
What if we didn't have to hear things that we thought might be hateful?
What if we just didn't have to hear things that just made us sad, made us angry,
or
made us scared?
What if we just had a government that gave us everything we need
sometimes,
and provided all the things that we need? Like, say, like, from each according, let's see, to each according to their need, from each according, I don't know, we'll get something. It's something in this area.
I don't like that. That sounds evil.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it sound like the type of thing that would kill 100 million people over a century or so?
It does. Something inside of me says that would kill 100 million people.
Wow. I wonder why. It sounds so innocuous when you say it like that. It's great. And Andy Ngo has been a guy who's stood up for a long time just saying, like, hey, look what's going on in my community. Like, can people notice that this should not be something that's happening in the United States of America? And just documenting what's going on. And for that, of course, he's been threatened many, many times, and now has actually been
hospitalized.
Yeah, hospitalized.
With a brain bleed because they beat him Antifa did in Portland. But nobody really seems to care about that. The press is still, they're great with Antifa.
Can I ask you a somewhat separate question? I don't think it's worth bringing up to Andy now because he's got more important things. But
well, he's a doctor.
That's
at least in my world.
Dr. No. Mm-hmm. Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the two that you hear a lot, Antifa or Antifa. But really, it's anti-fascist. It shouldn't be anti-fa. Anti-fa is how that should be pronounced.
That's good.
Not Antifa, not Antifa.
But anti-fa sounds like anti-fa.
Right.
It seems like, and it's going to be spectacular and
right.
Anti-fa.
Right.
The sixth annual anti-fa.
Fa, fascist.
Yeah.
We say fa, and so it's wrong. And then anti is anti, not anti, not
it's anti.
Like we go the wrong way on both of them.
Yes, I know.
I'm calling it anti-fa from now on.
Anti-fa.
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 Like antifreeze. It's anti-fa. Fascist.
But it's
fa.
Antifreeze. So it should be antifa.
Antifa. I'm fine with that. I just hate the ones that we... Because every time he's like Antifa, and they're like, Antifa, it's Antifa. No, it's not. It's neither. Okay? Stop changing it.
It doesn't matter.
No.
It really doesn't matter. Dr. No joins us in just a few minutes.
Of entertainment and enlightenment.
So we have Andy Ngo on. I like to call him Dr. Ngo. And he knows a thing or two about doctors. He has been in the hospital for a brain bleed because he was beaten by Antifa. Antifa. How do you say it, Stu?
Anti-fa.
Anti-fa. Anti-fa. We'll talk to Andy Ngo from Quillett next. 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Property crime counts for about half of all crime in America. 36% of property crime, that's only 36%, is even reported. 18% of property crimes are even prosecuted. Right now, in honor of 4th of July, Simply Safe is putting an independence package together, a really great offer for you. It's a Simply Safe system that has all of the entry sensors and motion and glass break sensors, a security camera,
everything that you might need to stop people from coming into your home that are not supposed to be there. And as a special bonus, you can get 15% off this package for Independence Week, plus free HD camera, complete protection for your home. No long-term contracts. Monitoring is still only $15 a month. You can install it yourself in less than an hour. I did it in about 30 minutes. And now is the time to get it. Go to simplysafebeck.com. You'll get 15% off your system, plus a free HD security camera. That's a $100 value, simplysafebeck.com, 15% off your order, plus a free Simply Safe security camera. Simplysafebeck.com. All right, let's go to Andy Ngo, who I am begging some university to give him an honorary doctorate so he can officially be Dr. Ngo. Welcome, Andy. How are you? Andy,
thank
are you,
you
there?
For having me on. I am. Hello.
Yes. How are you feeling, first off?
I've been in a lot of pain and exhausted. I've been particularly concerned that I've been having some difficulty with speaking, but I'm pushing myself to do all the media interviews because I'm hoping that the story is not just one of some person getting beat up in a city, but rather has the potential to move the needle on the national discourse on far less militancy. And I want people to be confronted by the brutality of this Antifa movement.
Have you done any mainstream media? Has CNN reached out to you, ABC, NBC, any of these people?
I've been on Tucker Carlson. I've been on other Fox shows. And I was also invited and accepted to do an interview on CNN yesterday morning.
Are you surprised by the response of the press saying that you're not a journalist and it really was just a little bump in the head? It was no big deal.
I wish I could say I was surprised, but I'm not. There's militant Antifa is a very small number of people, but the larger and more concerning should be the focus on the larger concentric circle of what I call nonviolent Antifa. And these are people who are sympathetic to the ideas of this movement, mainly Marxism and violence against the right. And so they work in journalism and progressive media and sometimes mainstream center-left media, and they work to whitewash and sanitize the ideology and tactics of Antifa. And so there's a machine in work that has been in work for years now to mainstream aspects of this militant paramilitary movement. So I shouldn't be surprised that they're coming to try to delegitimize my work and who I am as a justification for the attack.
Portland police officers, I'm quoting the Portland mayor, Portland police officers have the unenviable task of keeping peace. It's a difficult job and hard decisions are made in real time. I saw your video. I watched all of them. And you practically begged the police to help and to wake up to what was happening to you. And then you were beaten and they didn't arrive at all. You had to go back to them. What is your opinion of what the police did or did not do? Do you believe they were on orders not to get involved at all?
I don't blame any rank and file officers, because for months now, Antifa has been intimidating, harassing, and assaulting me, and I have many pending open investigations that preceded Saturday's assault. And their responses every time these attacks happen, many within the eyesight of the police, their responses always that they cannot move in to question, detain, or approach the suspects because this could incite the crowd. So this signals to me that this is a problem in the policing tactics of the police. It comes from higher up. So the city has already been on notice about the militant, the violent militancy of Antifa since 2016. To remind our listeners who may not be aware, after the results of the election were announced in November, there was violent rioting in the city where $1 million in damage was done in downtown, and fires were started on the streets, and masked individuals carrying bats and other weapons went around destroying cars, breaking windows. It was complete anarchy, and we keep having these bouts of violence.
So what should...
of a major American city.
What should be done, Andy?
I think the DOJ needs to step in. The Department of Homeland Security, since 2016, has described some of the activities of Antifa as domestic terrorist violence. And so this is a problem that for, I think, the federal authorities to step in, because local authorities, particularly in Portland, where the mayor, who also doubles as a police commissioner and is up for re-election in a city that hates police, he has all the incentive in the world to weaken the law enforcement practices and to allow far less militants to run amok on the streets.
This is very reminiscent in many ways of what happened on the streets in southern towns, where the mayor and the police chief would allow protesters to be beaten and did nothing about it until the federal government got involved. Andy, we wish you the very best and a speedy recovery. If there's anything that any of us can do besides pray for you, we stand ready to do it. God bless you, and thank you so much.
Thanks for bringing attention to the story.
You bet. Andy No. You can follow him at Mr. Andy No, N-G-O, Andy N-G-O, on Twitter.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
All right, we're going to go through the Declaration of Independence in just a second. Stand by. The Federal Reserve has indicated that it intends to keep interest rates low for the rest of this year. So right now, we have the opportunity to get our financial house in order and set course for our family's future. This is really important. History tells us that the rates are going to go down and they're going to go up, and it's not going to last like this forever. And this economy is booming. It is good. But again, it's not going to last forever. And when it does, you don't want to be behind the eight ball. So get out of your high interest debt. Get out of a mortgage that is, slave to the mortgage rates. Instead, do the right thing. Get your financial house in order right now with AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net. Call 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net. We break for 10 seconds. Station ID. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal stations to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, would dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariable the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object, the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. And to prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. This king has refused to assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. He's refused for a long time after such disillusions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations thither, and raising the conditions of new appropriation of lands. He's affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He's combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by mock trial from a punishment of any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off all of our trade with parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without consent, for depriving us, in many cases, of the benefit of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for inducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of government. He has plundered our seas. He has ravaged our coasts. He has burnt our towns. And he has destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with the circumstances of cruelty unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has incited treasonable insurrections in our fellow subjects with the allurements of forfeiture and confiscation of our property. He has waged cruel war against human nature itself, violating its most sacred rights of life and liberty in the persons of a distant people who never offended him, captivating and carrying them into slavery in another hemisphere or to incur miserable death in their transportation thither. This warfare, the opprobrium of infidel powers, is the warfare of a Christian king of Great Britain, determined to keep an open market where men should be bought and sold. He has prostituted his negative for suppressing every legislative attempt to prohibit or restrain this commerce. And that this assemblage of horrors might want no fact of distinguished dye, he is now exciting those very people to rise in arms among us and to purchase that liberty of which he has deprived them by murdering the people upon whom he has also obtruded them, thus paying off former crimes committed against the liberties of one people with crimes in which he urges them to commit against the lives of another. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in most humble terms, and our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a man to be free. Future ages will scarcely believe the hardiness of one man. We have not been wanting in our attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of the attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity. We have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which they would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence, but they too have been deaf to the voice of justice. We must, therefore, acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the recessitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies and of right ought to be free and independent states, and that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have the full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish Congress, and do all other acts and things which independent states may right to do. And for support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The first draft of the Declaration of Independence includes the paragraph on slavery that Thomas Jefferson wrote and was only rejected by three states, which the declaration had to be unanimous. It says at the top of the page, the unanimous declaration, because he knew that they all did, that the king would separate them if it disagreed on anything. Charlie Kirk is coming up in just a second. By the way, you can see that declaration at our museum at mercury1.org. We are here for the 12 score and 3 years ago museum. It's open tomorrow through Sunday. Bring your family. You can get special tours. You can just come and tour yourself. It is an amazing experience, and you will leave here filled with knowledge and hope for the future. All right, Charlie Kirk is coming up next with a look at the news of the week. Research suggests that...
is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sorry. Research suggests that most businesses take up to 197 days to notice a breach in their data. Okay. ZNet reports that finance firms can take an average of 98 days before they notice it. And then when do they tell everyone? This is why the cost of cybercrime is exploding. In 2015, the estimated cost was $3 trillion. It's expected to be $6 trillion in 2 years from now. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds, and you could miss identity threats that if you're only monitoring your credit. That's why LifeLock is here. They detect a wide range of identity threats. And if they detect your information is for sale or has been breached, they send you an alert when you say, nope, that's not me. That's a problem. And somebody here in the U.S., a restoration specialist, is going to work to fix it. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but they uncover the threats that you might miss on your own. They're the best. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or go to lifelock.com. Use the promo code Beck. You'll save 10% off your first year. Promo code Beck, lifelock.com.
Now, if you're not able to get to Texas for the Mercury Museum at mercury1.org, tonight we're going to see a preview of some of the best stuff in the museum with David Barton on television at blazetv.com/Glenn.
Charlie Kirk is joining us now. Charlie Kirk is a truly amazing, amazing individual. He's the founder and president of Turning Point USA. He's the host of the Charlie Kirk Show. You can find him at tpusa.com. And we welcome him to the program today. Charlie, I want to start with, I want to cover, if I can, if I have time, three different things with you. The first one is the 4th of July celebration. The 4th of July celebration, the Democrats are now saying this is a partisan thing. He's taken over the mall celebration, America's celebration, and Donald Trump is doing, just a partisan thing. Well, I would normally say that wasn't true, but I believe if the other party, now their stance is that America is a bad place, and many are even saying that they hate America, don't tell me that it's good. I guess it is a partisan thing. There's half the people that say, no, I don't agree with that. It's a pretty sweet place to be.
No doubt. And they're making it a partisan thing. And thank you so much for having me, Glenn. Always sure. Such a great honor. But where does this idea come from? Where has the horrific anti-American sentiment stemmed from? It's from our universities. This has been 40 and 50 years in the making. And right. 5 or 6 years ago, as I really started to get our work going at Turning Point USA, I started to see measures on college campuses, such as American flags being banned from in dormitory rooms in the University of California system. And I started to see not just left-wing students talk about their radical ideology, but instead just be so outwardly anti-American. And now this has metastasized into the top levels of Democrat leadership. I mean, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez does not just come out of nowhere. She was created and incubated in colleges. She's a prototype of the radical left, and now it's become mainstream. And I sent out a tweet this morning kind of joking around a little bit saying only the Democrats could be upset that there'll be money spent to celebrate America, but they're perfectly fine having billions of dollars in cash flown on a private jet to Iran who wants us dead.
Exactly right.
Only the modern Democrats could come up with that sort of illogical approach.
Let me talk to you a little bit about Students for Trump. It's just been announced that you have a budget now of $15 million, 150 staffers, and a presence on more than 1,400 college campuses. And you are going to do the largest Get Out the Vote program targeting students on college campuses for a Republican president ever. How are you going to... breakthrough to these people who, as you said, it's been metastasized. They're not for only 28% of students are looking at Donald Trump and saying, he's a good guy. I like his policies.
Well, the good thing about being at 28% is you got almost nowhere to go but up. And
right.
the best thing about being surrounded is you can shoot in any direction. But look, I do believe that those polls are a little bit misrepresentative. There are far more students that have a positive perspective of the president than I think those polls will reflect. But make no mistake, the road to the White House goes straight through college campuses. And not to oversimplify 2020, but the Democrats have very specific, I call them policy bribes almost, targeting young people. Student loan forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
almost their entire climate agenda is catering towards younger coastal
mm-hmm.
voters
mm-hmm.
that have no connection to the heartland of our country. Malibu and Manhattan is the extent of their worldview, not Missouri, Michigan,
mm-hmm.
or Montana. And so it's up to us, our effort going into 2020 through our Students for Trump vehicle, to add a little sobriety, add a little realism and truth. And the message is quite simple, is we're going to say, wait a second, you say you don't trust the government, because a lot of these students say they don't trust the government. Then why on earth would you want to make government bigger and more powerful and give more of your money and give more of your freedom to that government? Because a lot of these students say, well, our government is bought and paid for by the corporations and the special interests. Say, all right, that's a reasonable
mm-hmm.
approach. Then why on earth would you want to give that very same government control over your health care and of your decisions? And so, look, it's a uphill battle, to say the least, Glenn, but it's a clash that we're going to embrace. Because in order for Donald Trump to get reelected, he needs to exceed expectations on college campuses. And the Democrats right now and the radical left, they're not expecting any sort of obstacle on college campuses. And we hope to at least make it competitive again, not just allow the left to have a monopoly over the next generation.
So, Charlie, the other thing that has really concerned me is the arrogance of Silicon Valley. We know through studies that are done at Harvard that Google is changing results for their search and stacking things for the Democrats, and it is very effective. We also know that they're conservative, you know, they're deplatforming or just changing their algorithms to make sure that they're not highlighting people. I mean, when I search and I watch something of me on YouTube, I can't get them to recommend another video by me. And it's me. I mean, it's like, this is nuts. I know the president is meeting with Google and I believe YouTube next week. The Justice Department is going to be there. What do you foresee happening there?
Yeah, and so there's a social media summit next week at the White House, and I will be there. And to kind of extrapolate that point a little more, Glenn, which is a brilliant one, the Silicon Valley elites, they look at themselves as philosopher kings,
mm-hmm.
as the philosopher king that Plato talked about thousands of years ago. That's who they think they are. They believe they are smarter, they believe they are better, and they believe they deserve more power and no one should ever question them.
Mm-hmm.
And some could make the argument that Google is more dangerous currently than the Internal Revenue Service.
Oh, I agree.
The IRS doesn't even use email still. Mm-hmm. You still have to write them a letter to the post office.
Right.
Google could overthrow a government. Google could change public sentiment. 92% of all search results go through Google. And so, look, I applaud the president for having some sort of a forum to at least cross-examine and hopefully challenge Silicon Valley. And I think an important thing to note here, Glenn, is we as free market people and as followers of Adam Smith and Milton Friedman, we should be very cautious and careful to ever call for government regulation. However, when these big tech companies are sometimes using government contracts and taxpayer funding to advance their agenda, that should be discontinued. So, for example, Amazon is on the verge of signing a $10 billion taxpayer-funded contract through Amazon Web Services to house all the Pentagon and mm-hmm. cloud data. And that's just that's cronyism. That's not mm-hmm. capitalism.
And I would rather see us, I mean, instead of regulation, just threaten their status as a platform.
Yes.
You're a publisher. And they do not, that'll put them out of business because of lawsuits. So, I mean, just that one threat should turn them around.
No doubt. And I think your audience is very aware of this. And I hear this concern amongst the grassroots all across the country that there's almost been a super government created. It's almost as if there's two sources of power now.
Yes.
In America, the government and the information processing mm-hmm. distribution. And they're thousands of miles away from each other, but they agree on basically everything.
Yep.
And while most of our movement has been very focused, rightfully so, on the deep state within Washington, there's a deep state built in Silicon Valley.
And it's really not even American. I mean, it doesn't care who is in charge of anything in the future. They will be much more powerful than any government.
And they're on pace to have technology that the government will never be able to catch up to at all.
Yes.
It's almost as if there's a super government being created.
Yes.
And it's an oligopoly. And it's an oligopoly and an oligarchy. And there is no diversity of opinion. There's no diversity of thought. Just last year, you had one of the Google employees who dared send a memo about pushing back against mm-hmm. Gender stereotypes, mm-hmm. something of that nature, which was not a controversial memo when you read it. And he was fired almost instantaneously. Ted Cruz brilliantly cross-examined the head of user experience at Google and asked her how many political contributions went to Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. $0 to Donald Trump and over $1.2 million to Hillary Clinton. And so we have to continue to signal the alarm against this, and you've done a great job of it. And we saw what happened to Steven Crowder getting demonetized mm-hmm. recently. And they're going to continue to encroach on every single conservative content creator until we take a stand against it. And I think your solution of make them be treated as a publisher, not as a platform, because they are acting as a publisher.
Yeah, they are. They are. Thank you so much, Charlie. I appreciate it. Charlie Kirk from TPUSA. We'll talk to you again, and love to have you on next week after that to get an inside scoop on what exactly happened at that meeting in the White House. All right. Our sponsor, this half hour. By the way, we're going to end the show with a reading of the Gettysburg Address. It's an amazing document and was like 2.5 minutes long. That's it. And the original was thrown away because everybody thought, oh, that's not going to be that important. And it is one of the most powerful speeches ever given, and it is relevant today. We'll give that coming up in just a second. The USCCA would like to remind you that Second Amendment is that protected right, constitutionally protected right to bear arms. And with that right comes responsibilities, which is exactly why I support the United States Concealed Carry Association. The USCCA helps law-abiding Americans just like you or me. If we ever, God forbid, have to use our guns to protect our family, they offer the training, the education, and the self-defense legal protection that you're going to need. Now, in honor of July 4th, they're giving away $1,776 for guns, ammo, and gear for free. It's the July 4th Freedom Giveaway. And with it, you get two free chances to win $1,776 just by texting my name, Beck, to the number 87222. It'll get you a Ruger Mini 14, Otis Cleaning System, 9-line wood flag sign, and ammo. All you need to do is text BECK to the number 87222. In hour one of this broadcast, we went through the Declaration of Independence and explained it. I read it and we explained it and looked at it and tore it apart and looked at what they really meant. Once you really understand the Declaration of Independence and you see that as our mission statement and our Constitution as our, our instruction guide, you begin to understand how this country was put together and why it was. And we failed. We stopped the slave trade, but we failed to stop slavery itself until a great war, the Civil War. And Abraham Lincoln was a man who was a few words. And he was asked to go to Gettysburg at a great battle and dedicate the land to the dead. And here is what he said. Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now, we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should do this, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, they have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here. But it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated. To be dedicated here to the unfinished work which those who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us here to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. I think that that is as relevant today as the day it first escaped Abraham Lincoln's lips. It was something, as he said, people will make little note of what we said here, but we have now kind of all decided that it is one of the greatest speeches any American president has ever given. It lasted about 2.5 minutes. We don't have the original because the original was thrown away. But we do have in Lincoln's own handwriting the Gettysburg Address that he rewrote to be able to raise funds to help heal the wounded and the veteran. We have that here at the Mercury Studios, and we would love for you to see it firsthand. Join us at our museum this weekend here in Dallas, Texas. Find out all the details and get your tickets now at mercuryone.org.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.